It's a good day. It's a good day. And what is very funny is, like, you know, you come inside and it gets better. And that's what how it is. It's just God. You know, you cannot orchestrate the sky outside. You cannot orchestrate what's inside. You can just be a part of that. And God just wants to invite you to be a part of that. And a couple of weeks ago, Alan preached. So my name is Sabatha Pereira. I'm not the pastor. The founding pastor is Pastor Yeezy and Pastor Lena, and the guy doing worship, he's Pastor Allen. So he's the pastor of the church. So a few weeks ago, he was preaching about John 21, right? John 21 is where the disciples go to the beach, and, you know, they go fishing. Peter wants to do what he wants to do. He goes, says, and everybody follow him. And Jesus meets them. He makes breakfast for them. You know, and then he brings them back to the charcoal fire. And in the charcoal fire, he brings Peter back to the remembrance of when he denied him. And he says, hey, Peter, do you love me? And Peter three times tells him, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Jesus, you know I love you. So there's a declaration of his love. And, you know, sometimes as we make those declarations of love to God, and we just go do our own thing. And then there's a dedication of our lives where we come back and we say, okay, Jesus, I love you. And the beauty of that is God's plan is always about redemption. If you read that John 21, the first thing is, and Jesus wanted them to see him. He wanted to reveal himself, and he did it according to this. And that is, this is not what we know of. If we knew about it, we would present ourselves. Yes, Jesus, I'm here. You told me to be here, I'm here. No, Jesus wants to meet you where you are. And what is very crazy is, in that song, it says, Jesus is everything, right? Is everything I need. And if I tell you 3.5 years of my life, 3.5 years of my life, and I tell you that Jesus is everything I need, everything I want, that will make more sense to you. If my testimony is, yeah, flooded. What's funny, Kurt asked me, what did you feel the water, how it was swirly when you were flooded in Hawaii? I was like, Kurt, I didn't have time to think about it. I was just like, you know, trying to get out of it. But God wants to still redeem you. Irrespective of what situation you are in, irrespective of where you are, irrespective of what you're thinking, God is still wanting to meet with you. God is still wanting to redeem you, and he's still wanting to bring you to the place that you have to be at. See, and so in just the knowledge of that should be comforting enough to say, okay, Jesus, like, where do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And have that encounter. I believe that this time is a time of encounter, and God is coming to encounter you. So even in this, Lord, we welcome you, Jesus, that you're not come to me, to God, the intellect of man. You're not come to me, to God, me, but they are come to meet you, Jesus. And so, Jesus, would you meet with us? Would you break that bread that you have, O God, that multiplied, O God? Would you break that bread, O God, that fed, O God, the thousands, O God? Would you break that bread, O God, that is life, O God? And the life of God would be within us, O God, because you called us to abundant life. So we just bless you, Jesus, that your name be glorified in Jesus' name. So what was funny is when Alan was preaching that message, so the John 21 to you, it says they were together, Simon and Peter and Thomas called the twin, and Nathanael from Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. So what I caught on was, who are these two other disciples? I was like, yeah, those other names, I can say, yeah, we know. Who are those other two? Like, does it ever bother you? Like, you know, so some things, it's like, so I went to search, what is this, who are these two? And you always wonder, who are these two? You could, any guesses? Like, who these two are? John is already mentioned. James and John, sons of Zebedee. And So I go back to the scripture, but before I go into this, it's John 1:20. So John the Baptist makes this known about Jesus. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." One thing I need you to know is, behold this Jesus. The whole world is waiting for somebody who can take away this guilt, somebody who can take away this shame, somebody who can just take away all that you have wrongly done or you think you have wrongly done. This redemption, and that's what Alan left with. Alan left with this thing saying that redemption is what redeemed Peter, is the same redemption that is calling you to say, hey, come back, come back. And that redemption is always God's plan. You see, so he introduces Jesus and says those things, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes and all this. And then go to John 1:35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. Okay, we are looking for the missing two. Okay, and he looked at Jesus and he walked along and said, look, there is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this and they followed him. They followed Jesus. That's it. It's like sometimes you are basically searching for stuff. You're trying to sit under so many studies. You're trying to sit under so many, what's this guy's name? Like, you know, influencers, hashtag influencers. And you're trying to be like cool and you're trying to come up with the next buzzword and all that. And then suddenly it says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And immediately they left and they followed Jesus. Jesus never propagated himself or promoted himself. He just did what he was doing. He just stayed constant to the very call of God on his life because he was the Son of God. And he basically is calling you even at this time. And he's saying, hey, this is who I am. And he just goes on doing his regular stuff. Now it's up to you whether you choose to see, your intellect chooses to understand and follow Jesus. One of the two who heard what John said and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Okay, so of the two disciples, we figured out one. That was Andrew. And so Andrew goes, he first sought out and found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found, discovered the Messiah, which translated is the Christ, the anointed one. They were following the anointing. They were following the anointing. Always follow where the anointing is. Follow where God is leading you. Do not follow things where you're saying, I wish it could be better. No. Just stay focused. Follow Jesus, follow the anointing, follow the anointed one, always. And I guess we use this term, follow the oil, where the oil is. You see, and today when I was sitting over there, I suddenly started seeing pools of oil. And we are expecting revival to be like this one event or one moment. And I just believe these pools of oil are just forming and collecting. And suddenly you'll be just swashing in and suddenly you'll slide from one thing to another. And you'll be like, how did I even get there? But that opening in the revival, the opening in the anointing will cause you to move into things that you do not know how you got over there. So follow the anointing. And Andrew then led, brought Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated, it's Peter, or stone. Okay, so Jesus then meets Peter. You got to understand, this is a very funny passage. This is the only passage in the Gospels which basically talks about Jesus meeting Peter in this way. The other Gospels basically say Jesus seen Peter and his brothers and Andrew basically working with his father and they said, hey, come follow me, you know, and they just left and they went. This is the only Gospel in the Bible that basically gives a very different description of what it looked like. So you have these two guys who have just ran away from home and followed John, right? Hey, you know, we do something crazy like that. And then now they follow John, now they left it and they're gone to the next person, Jesus, you know, and so now nobody knows what they're doing. But now he's come back to his brother in Cana, Galilee, and he said, hey, I found the Messiah. Hey, I found the Messiah. And so now Peter, like as the brother, right, has to go and check this out. But Jesus comes and meets Peter, and he gives him what he's called to be, what his whole being is supposed to be. If I came and told you, it's like, hey, you're called to be this rock on which the church is going to be built. you suddenly have this identity thing in you put in. And God always wants to do this about you. He wants to give you an identity. And then you go through the process. Now, the process sometimes is not very kind. The process is not very kind. The same acorn, okay, has the potential of an oak tree. But the process of that acorn going to the oak tree is very, very different. The acorn has to die. The acorn has to be hidden. The acorn has to then burst. The acorn then has to grow and be a little sapling and go through things and has to go through years of rain. And then the roots have to go deeper and deeper. So that potential that God has called each of you in this place, and there is a potential that God has marked you with. That potential for you to be who you're called to be, you have to go through the process. This life is about process. Everything you do is not in an instant, even though like we want it to be in an instant, but the process is where we are going with. The day you met Jesus, the process began according to us. But to Jesus, he formed you before the ages, and the process began then. See, this is the beauty of Jesus. We are living in a very condensed time, but for Jesus, he's able to meet you at any time and every time. He's not limited by time, you see, because he's yesterday, today, and forever. We are worried about our today, and we are worried about our tomorrow. And here is a God who's already been in your tomorrow and still says it is good. He says, I will give you a good ending. Seriously, this Jesus, you either trust this Jesus or you don't trust this Jesus. That's all we can do, and you use your time to worry about all the things. But hey, Jesus says, hey, I come to give you an expected end, and it is good. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus, after he meets Peter, the next day, Jesus desired, I like that word, Jesus desired, and decided to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. That's the second missing guy who was the disciple of John. Because he goes, since they have gone with Jesus and they spend time with Jesus figuring it out that, you know, whether he's really the Messiah, now Jesus goes and finds Philip. This is the only person in this gospel where Jesus really goes and tries to find him. Everybody else comes to meet Jesus and all. But this Jesus goes to meet Philip. And you're like, really, Philip? You know what's funny of the reading that you did? That was the test for Philip. When Jesus multiplied the bread, he basically said, he wanted to test Philip, if you read the gospel. And I'll go through it. And that's funny. So it was for that. And said to him, and Jesus found Philip and said to him, join me as my attendant and follow me. In this John 21, one of the things, if I say it, I'll say it now, it's better than I forget it later. It's at the end of John 21, they're all worried of, because Jesus talks about Peter going to die, and Peter is going to die, and he's just going to point, and people are going to take him where he has to go. And John, the disciple who loves Jesus the most, or, you know, that's how he refers to himself in his own gospel, he basically wants to know how he's going to die. And Jesus says, what? And so now he doesn't really say it, but Peter now wants to know, hey, me and John and all, we go together, right? So what's going to happen to him? That's how he's asking Jesus. And Jesus tells Peter, is like, what is it to you? You follow me. You're sometimes worried about how this fellow is following God, how they're doing this, how they sinned and how they did this and how they failed God. What is it to you? You follow God. That's it. Jesus is telling this Peter, on whom the church he's going to form, it's like, what is it to you? So quit all this thing saying that, hey, they failed and these people were this and they said this and they did that. Doesn't matter to you. Your call is to follow him. You follow God. In the following of you, of how you follow God, your generations open up to what God has for them. If you don't, you'll only give them the talk of what other people followed God, But they failed, but they could be raised up again. A good man falls 7 times and is raised up again, and he follows God. So get up. I don't know to whom I'm speaking this to, but hey, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. In my dream, I did see one man, and I gave him my testimony, and I was like, okay, I guess I have to give him my testimony. And then this morning, I knew he was not going to come. It was so funny. I just got up with this understanding. Nah. But there is one man still in this place that God said is like, hey, get up, follow me. I do not know who you are. I do not know whether this makes sense, because God, this is how I can explain to you Jesus. The whole reason I'm even preaching this is for this one person now, is God wants you. I do not know how you think about this. God is so selective sometimes. He makes this all about an invitation for one person. And he says, and I'm saying a man, but it may be a man, it may be a woman, but it says, come, follow me. I don't know what your surroundings was. I do not know what the heartbreak was. I do not know what things that you went through, but God is saying, hey, come, follow me. That invitation, you are so important to him right now that God is just calling you to come back to that place. And it's going to be a new place. It's going to be a new thing. You're going to say, but I've done this before. Jesus, I've done this before. No. You have not followed him. You just followed people who followed him. And God is calling you to this relationship where he wants you to follow him. It's going to come to that place where you're just going to say that, oh, Pastor Lino was saying, there is no air I breathe. You will start singing the song, you are the air I breathe. The very circulation of God in your life will be all about him. It will not be about what's my 5-year plan, what's my 10-year plan. It'll be about Jesus. What does this future look like? How does this day look like? What is there outside there, God, that you want me to affect? How do you want me to change history? Where do you want me to go next? Those, you'll start talking like that. And then they'll say, oh, they have been with Jesus. That's how you will be known as. When you start talking to Jesus, either they're going to call you mad, or they're going to call you crazy. They're like, oh, he got the Jesus bug. But you're just going to be known that, hey, they follow Jesus. That's your talk will basically be Jesus. Your walk will be basically Jesus. Your getting up and your sleeping will be about Jesus. It will not be I'm a Christian, but it will be I'm very the embodiment of Christ who lives in me. That's who I am. You have to call yourself and say, that's who I am. I live in the very embodiment that Christ is my everything. That's how you will basically be. Going back to my text, verse 44. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the same city as Andrew and Peter. Philip sought and found Nathanael and told him, we have discovered the one Moses in the law, and also who the prophets wrote about, Jesus from Nazareth, the legal son of Joseph. So what's funny is all 4 of them lived in the same city. Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathanael. Philip and Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew, is basically they're the best friends. Because if you see later on in life, Philip and Bartholomew go around preaching the gospel wherever they go. And it's kind of funny. It's like, I'll go into the... So what I want you to see, okay, this is where I'm going in my head. Okay, so welcome to my head. So this is how it goes. It's like, for me, I have to know, God, where you're going, and I'm just going to follow you. So the very instance of like, you know, I can have all this, I'm following where God is going. So as the hipsters say, are you tracking? Get used to that word, Phil. But that's what it is. It's like, hey, what are you wanting to like accomplish, God, with this? So God, why I'm talking about redemption, I'm talking about this, because I want to show you the apostles, the great men and women of God who basically met Jesus, failed Jesus, and then finished well with Jesus. And I in heaven, basically cheering you on, saying, hey, come on, you can do this. Come on. You have the whole cloud of witnesses in heaven looking down on you and saying, come on, you got this. Come on, it doesn't matter what your surroundings are. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter what you think, what you understand, what you don't know. But hey, you can do this because God in you is able to bring you to a place where he has called you to be. And that's what Jesus is all about. And Nathanael answered him saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip replied, come and see. Sometimes we are worried that we have to have the whole explanation of the gospel. We have to have the whole explanation how good Jesus is. And I challenge you, say, hey, come and see. Come, taste, and see. Come. I can't do this. If you think I'm going to explain to you Jesus and going to say, oh, he was so cool and he explained it so well, I got it. I got it. I'm going to heaven straight away now. I failed. Because I want you to meet Jesus. In the whole explanation of this, I want you to meet this person, Jesus, who I know. I do not want you to meet an image of Jesus that is not of the person I know. Jesus doesn't want you to explain a gospel that you have not encountered. He doesn't want you to tell people about this Jesus who you have never encountered, because there will be no sincerity in the way you explain Jesus. You'll be talking about cardboard. You'll be talking about a statue. You'll be talking about a plaster of Paris statue. Because if you don't have the sincerity of this is the Jesus and this is how he affected my life. People are looking for sincerity. They're looking for truth. They're looking for, hey, yes, this what he's saying is right. It moves inside of me. Do you know what this Jesus is? What this Jesus does? Now you talk from that place. This is who he is to me. Not the Jesus of just paper gospel. The Jesus of the gospel that lives in me. The very breathing, the very embodiment of the gospel in me. Christ, the hope of glory. Christ, the hope of glory. Yeah. One day we will see this glory. One day. One day we'll walk outside this place and we'll be like, why is your face shining so much? I don't have time to buy a mask. That's going to be my answer. I was like, deal with it. Deal with it. I'm going to be with this glory. I'm going to walk with this glory. I'm going to follow this glory. This is who I want to be. This is who I'm called to be. And this is who Jesus wants me to be. Follow Jesus. Follow me. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and concerning him, see, here is an Israelite indeed, a true descendant of Jacob, in whom there is no guile, nor deceit, nor falsehood, nor duplicity. Nathanael said to Jesus, how do you know me? How is it that you know these things about me? Jesus answered him, before ever Philip called you, when you were still under the fig tree, I saw you. To some people that sitting under the tree, to most people right now, oh, that's the word of knowledge. That word of knowledge was given. Oh, yes, and it changed Nathanael's life, and Nathanael now was like, oh, rocked by that word of knowledge. No, 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 no. There is an explanation to this. That fig tree that he was sitting on or under was the time when Nathanael was meeting and asking God. He was a very pious man, as you can read from the text. He was basically meeting God. That was his prayer, and that was his meditation time. And he was asking God, hey, that I may know you. If you are seeking God, do you think this Jesus is going to let you down? If you're seeking this through Jesus, is it just going to come like, oh, we just made a mistake and we followed this? No, 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 no. He's going to meet you. And this is what he wanted. And so this is what changed Nathanael's life. Nathanael said to answer, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus replied, because I said to you, I saw you beneath the fig tree. Do you believe in and rely on and trust in me? And then this is what is the kicker. You shall see greater things than this. If you're sincerely seeking God, if you really want to see him, God is ready to open a lot more to you that you may see. If right now all you want to do this thing is go hashtag the next revelation, blue light, there you go. That's if that is all your life about, then you just missed the greater things that God has basically promised ahead of you. Because you've just lived that moment and you just went blue light revelation. There is more. There are greater things that God wants you to see. It's not that you just came to church at 10:30 and you basically left at 12. There are greater things that God wants you to open your eyes to see. He wants you to see the angels. He wants you to see the things that he has laid before you. He wants you to see the things for your grandchildren. It's crazy. It's crazy things that he wants you to see. And he'll explain it to you. John the Apostle basically seen, you know, the book of Revelation. Now, when John was seeing the book of Revelation, John must be going, it's like, they'll think I'm really lost now. If I try to explain to them the stuff I'm seeing, not going to work out, you know, and no church is going to accept me back again. You see, but he wrote the whole book of Revelation, and we're still studying the book of Revelation. Then he said to him, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you all, you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's how God wants you to see. He just wants you to have an open understanding of heaven, up and down, dreams, revelation, whichever God wants to use you to be. And that's how God is going to basically work in your life now, if you allow him to, if you follow him. See? Now let's go to the fun part. Can we get slide number 2? Hey, God is complete. Welcome to the fullness of God. So when I was talking about this, and these people went and, you know, had breakfast and all, these are people I eat breakfast with sometimes, or this was in the past. And if I'm missing women's in these pictures, I've eaten breakfast with women, but we forgot to put it up. So my wife already corrected me, so just FYI. But we are regular people. All of us in this place are regular people. Y'all eat breakfast. I didn't eat breakfast today. I just ate coffee, you know, just letting you know. Go to the next slide. So on top is basically all these 7 people, okay? And down, and the bottom is all the remaining people who eat breakfast. Same type of people. Same type of people Jesus sees and understands and wants to meet, okay? So let's just go to the next slide. So the first person in this is Andrew, right? And Andrew, I copied all this from the internet. So, you know, who gets the credit for creating the internet? Whoever that is. but this is Andrew. So Andrew was the first disciple called of Jesus, right? So he was called Prokletus. And Andrew's thing was with Jesus again at that time when they were multiplying the bread, and Jesus told him, Andrew says, Jesus, what do you want to do? Now, this is a time where there's like a bunch of miracles happening. 5,000 people have come to see these miracles and all. And here you have Andrew, who's basically now the leader, really, because he was the first called. And he goes, is like, Jesus, what do you want to do? He throws it back at Jesus. Instead of saying, yeah, Jesus, you can do this. And everyone, like even Andrew, had this thing. And Andrew was a really amazing guy. Like, I scanned through the Bible to find one bad thing about Andrew. And this was the one thing I could find. That he threw it back on Jesus and said, hey. But it doesn't matter who you are. Your level of faith sometimes is not the same as Jesus. And that's what God wants us to come to, have faith of God. Have that same faith that is in God that you can raise the dead. Yesterday I was listening to a Q&A from a revival session. Somebody asked the question, so how do you raise the dead? Straight out. And so then Daniel Kalinda is over there, and he's going, yeah, people have asked me this question, and I asked them, how many dead people have you prayed for? And the guy says, none. To do basically those things, you have to step out to do those things and have faith of God. You have to believe that, hey, I failed, but God will never fail. You know, so in what we do, like this is how we pray, right? We'll pray and then, okay, that person, are you done? Are you healed? Are you this? Nah. But then we take the responsibility saying we failed. But now, we're just saying, Jesus is doing it. I'm not failing. I'm just telling you what he's doing. This is what I know how we pray for him, people, and this is what we do. So we that responsibility suddenly becomes to Jesus. And there'll come a time where suddenly you'll start seeing these miracles because you have just believed that you're stepping out with the faith of God. You're just going to start touching people. Like, I walk around with my shadow. You all pay attention to your shadow? I always say this, but I do pay attention to my shadow because one day my shadow is going to heal the sick. I just walk around with that. I don't have an understanding of how it looks or what, but I just believe the shadow because the one who overshadows me is Jesus. That is in me. And that is who's going to raise the dead, who's going to touch people. And Andrew over here, so if that's the bad thing about Andrew, Andrew goes ahead in life, and, you know, so now they're crucifying Andrew, but he doesn't want to be crucified like Jesus. So he says, hey, let my cross be like an X. So you're seeing Andrew being crucified on a cross like that X. But Andrew is the guy who has gone into Russia. He's the patron saint of Russia. He's the patron saint of Scotland. It's crazy. It's like these people went out and they reached out to people where they were not from. They went from Cana, Galilee, all the way to all these different places to be killed and crucified over there. And I like this picture of the Braveheart, you know. And I just put that just because of that, as saying, hey, sometimes right now you may see yourself not as that brave, but never know. Never know who would be a martyr for God. You never know. I would never limit any person by what I know of them to say that they would not change their lives. They would not basically give their lives up for this Jesus once they encounter the goodness of God. That's Andrew. Go to the next one. This is Peter. So Peter, now you've seen all the bad things Peter did, right? But if you go back to this John 21, the time where basically Jesus meets Peter, Peter is the, okay, Jesus never made a mistake saying that, okay, Peter, I'm going to build my church upon you. And now Peter fails him, denies him, or whatever. He's like, that word is still true. And he basically says, why did Peter want to run away and just do nothing? Like when Alan was explaining that, he said he was just going to do nothing. He's just going, because he didn't have a purpose. You know what Jesus did in that whole conversation? When he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I think he said lambs twice and sheep, you know. Even I like lamb better than sheep, you know. Just say, but he basically gave him responsibility. So if I come to you, like say I come to Ben, right? And here I am standing and I say, Ben, this is your responsibility. Would you basically just go like Peter? I don't know, guys, what you all are doing, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Jesus, it won't work like that, because when you have made your commitment to Jesus and you have made these declarations of love to Jesus, you will basically do what he has called you to do. You won't shirk away from what you're called to do. You will just do it day in and day out. What others do doesn't matter to you. You follow me. That's it. So in context to that, this is what Peter failed, sure, walked on water. Yeah, I like that, walking on water. He had many ups and downs. Hey, Jesus, you're the Messiah. Yeah, and then get thee behind me, Satan. You see, he did good, great things, and he did messed up things. But at the end, Jesus still wants him. Jesus still wants you. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. It doesn't matter how you look at yourself. Once he has called you, he has called you. And even like people who listen to this, I just feel this, and I'm just going to release it. Who are listening to this, that right now, that it doesn't matter in a point of time where you feel that you're in a whirlpool, and right now you do not understand because the thoughts over your head right now are just going swirling, round and round, and confusing you. But God is still even able to say, peace to that storm. Peace to that storm. Peace to that storm. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Peter, didn't, again, want to die like Jesus. I think it's a DNA thing of like Andrew and Peter, is they didn't want to be like Jesus because they never thought themselves worthy. So Peter said, hey, turn my cross upside down and let me die like this. And so they turned Peter's cross upside down, and that's how he died. Go to the next. This is Philip. So I don't know if you see. So whenever there's a statue of Philip, they normally put that cross, and then they put two loaves of bread because it's remembrance of that same 5,000 feeding. It basically says is that because the test was for Philip. And Philip found the guy, the kid with the bread. And then Philip takes it to Andrew, his best friend. And he says, Andrew, hey, we found this. Like, take it to Jesus. And then Andrew goes to Jesus. You see that? You just stay with your close friends and all. And then you're like, hey, there's that thing. And Philip also got crucified. There was so much fun reading and studying this because initially I thought Philip, Apostle Philip, was Philip the evangelist. And I was like, yeah, he walks like John. And he goes fast because he ran after the chariot, remember? And I was like, yeah. So, and then I remembered what Alan was saying is like, you know, the disciple whom Jesus loved much ran first to the tomb, right? And it's funny. But you know what's funnier of that? He waited outside. He didn't go inside. He waited till Peter came. Why would he do that? No, he knew Peter knew more than he did. And so he just waited outside. You know what? I enjoy reading the Bible because of that. I read stuff, and then I read again, and I read again, and then suddenly something different shows up. You know, you cannot get bored of reading the Word of God and say, yeah, yeah, I done that. I need something more cool. Give me a different, another book, and, you know, I'll study that. Those chapters in the book have enough life for all your life. So this is where it is. So Philip was crucified along with Nathanael, who was Bartholomew. So this is how crazy the story is. According to the books, which so I was looking up, and it said both of them were being crucified in Turkey. Okay, so Philip and Nathanael are being crucified in Turkey, and Philip starts preaching the gospel. He starts preaching the gospel. They start bringing them down off the cross. And he says, no. Keep me up. I want to die. And they leave Bartholomew, and they take him down. But Philip preaches the gospel and dies on the cross. Can you imagine? Jesus affected their life so much that they never counted their life unto death. They said, no. Yeah, we are looking for an easy getaway to slide out of issues. No. Sometimes it is just preach the gospel. I just want to be there. I want to be close to Jesus. And that's what it comes to. Go to the next slide. So Bartholomew. Apparently Bartholomew even went to India, Armenia, even went to the Philippines. Can you imagine? You're like, wait, why would this be? And I wanted like Bartholomew because, hey, Bartholomew went to India. You know? But even Thomas went to India. So I was like, who do I prefer better? Like, you know, Thomas maybe. Like, but that's what it is. And Bartholomew was skinned alive and beheaded in Turkey or India. They don't know whether their body. He was killed in India, and they took his body and brought it to Turkey, and that's where was the Christian gospel at that time. And so they moved it from there. So these are four. Okay, go to the next slide. James. So this is James and John. So James was the leader of the church. James was also the first apostle that got martyred, okay? And James and John remind me of Izzy and Chris. That was the idea of that, right? It's like sons of thunder, James and John, you know? So when I was piecing this together, that's how it looked to me. And I was like, hey, so now what did they want? Go to Luke 9, 51 to 56. In Luke 9, 51 to 56, the Samaritans, like, you know, do not accept the gospel, do not receive the gospel. And both James and John say, hey, Jesus, should we call down fire on them? Now, when the time was approaching for him to be taken up, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went into a Samaritan village to make arrangements for him. But the people would not welcome him because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. And then James and John basically say, hey, do you want us to call fire down on them? In this gospel of love that you have basically set out to spread and give people, have you stopped loving? This whole gospel is about Jesus. Are you representing Jesus well? And here's James and John, the two people out of the three who have seen the transfiguration of Jesus and basically have fallen short. Are you loving well? Doesn't matter whether they hate you, doesn't matter whether they don't care about you, doesn't matter if they used you. Are you able to love well? And this is where Jesus is even saying, hey, these are my best right now. And hey, and Jesus rebuked them and corrected them. And rebuke and correction is not a bad thing, as long as you understand why it is. What are you deviating from? God always wants to rebuke and correct you for your good, because he says, the son I love most, I will correct. So he wants that in you. He wants that. So James was beheaded in Rome. He's the patron saint of Spain. Yeah, he was beheaded in Nero's garden. That was a crazy time. Nero was burning people like in the streets. If you said you're a Christian, just burn them as torches in the street. That's Christianity for you. That was the gospel people carried before you. You know, we're happy and we're like, oh, it's 100 outside. Oh, I'm burning. No. They burnt for this gospel. They burnt. They were on stakes and they were burnt for amusement of people because they just said they were Christians. Have this understanding. This is the cost. This is the price your forefathers paid. This was what was ahead of you. We don't know what lies ahead. But this is what it is all about sometimes. Because our life is not limited to earth. We have a greater life in heaven with Jesus, the one we love. All this is about that moment in time where we are moved from this earthly body into the heavenly body. We live forever with him. John died at Patmos. So apparently, but he died of old age. Okay, so in this John 21, when it says, and Peter wanted to know how John is going to die, it was all about, hey, you know, he's not going to die really. But so he never died. They say, oh, he just died of old age. And he died in Ephesus. Thomas was killed in India. There's a portrait of that over there. And, you know, but Thomas, his big thing was he didn't believe that Jesus came back, you know. Because I don't want to be left out. If Jesus is coming and visiting people, hey, I want to be in that room. But Jesus is so beautiful that he even did it only for Thomas. They doubted Thomas. They call him Doubting Thomas. But it was not that Thomas doubted. He just wanted to be there. He wanted to be in the inn. He wanted to be in the presence. He wanted to be there. That's the reality sometimes we have to be like this God. Yeah, everybody can say everything about this, but I need to meet this Jesus, this resurrected Jesus. And once you meet him, you'll go to the ends of the earth carrying this gospel and being ready to die for this gospel. And this is what it comes down to. All these people ate breakfast. Each of us down there ate breakfast. Each of us lived our lives, have a journey, have a story to tell of our lives. And then there are still a lot of missing faces in that. And God is asking you today, it's like, would you follow me? Would you be ready to come change history with me? Because that's all you're doing. Everybody is trying to be a leader. Like how Coates says, it's like everybody, Jesus never called you to be a leader. He says, just follow me. Everybody wants the position and title of a leader. I'm the head. No. Jesus is always the head. You are the follower. Come follow me. Are you ready to pay the price to follow this Jesus? These missing faces, this nameless, faceless revival is all about this next generation, this next time, this next. Now, when I say generation, it's not the younger people. I'm just saying a face, a people, who are ready to just commit everything to Jesus. Are you willing to be one of those faces? There are male, there are female, age doesn't matter. Are you ready to be part of that? So, just let's stand. And take this moment like, this is your time, your history marker. You see, where you're basically cutting covenant with God and you're saying, God, at this moment in time, doesn't matter where I am, doesn't matter what I do, doesn't matter how I understand things, all that has no relevance because you are able. You are everything I need. So I come to you, Jesus, this morning. I come to you, Jesus, this morning with everything in me, my good, my bad, my disappointments, my failures, everything, oh God, knowing truly well, oh God, that you are the redeeming Jesus, oh God. You are the one, oh God, who paid the price, oh God, for me. And you are able to bring me, oh God, to the expected end that you have called me to be. And you have given me, oh God, that word within that says, oh God, on this rock I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church. So, Lord, we just come to you this morning, even as a church, oh God. And we just say, oh God, we lay our lives down, oh God, before you, oh God. That unless the seed dies, oh God, there will be no life, oh God. And we lay ourselves down, oh God. And we say we bring ourselves to nothing, oh God. That you may live in us. That we may be the true embodiment, oh God, of Christ in me, the hope of glory. So even as we get out of this place, oh God, Father, we believe, oh God, that truly well, oh God, that every eye will be opened, oh God, that they may see greater things, oh God. Every heart, oh God, will be opened, oh God. Every heart, oh God, will be stripped, oh God, to understand these things, oh God, and to walk, oh God, into the fullness of Christ, oh God. And so we just welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Jesus. And even as that song said, oh God, you are everything we need. You are everything we need. In you I have all things. In you I have all things. So just receive that fullness right now. For the days ahead, for the days ahead, just receive that fullness right now. Doesn't matter how hot the sun will get. Doesn't matter how hot the times will get. Receive that for the days ahead. So we come to you, God, knowing that on our own we can do nothing, oh God. And we say, God, we need your grace, oh God, for the days ahead, oh God. We need your grace, oh God, for the days of what lies ahead, oh God. For the challenges, oh God, for the body of Christ, oh God, that lays ahead, oh God. We need your grace, Jesus. And we humble ourselves saying, God, we just know to love you. And we will just follow you until the end of our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.